Hello, everyone. This is Michael Fanning, your host of Ask a Coach, the Windermere podcast. In this podcast, we'll tackle some of your toughest real estate questions. Each episode will provide you with detailed answers and proven solutions to some of the biggest challenges facing realtors today. Thank you for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. This is Michael Fanning, and I am the host of the Windermere Ask a Coach podcast. And today I'm delighted to have with me Corey Brewer. Corey, how are you?
I'm doing great, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah. And Corey, for our listeners, just so they know who is talking, Corey's the vice president of residential operations within King and Snohomish County for Windermere, and specifically Windermere Property Management, Windermere. Give me the overarching services that you oversee a little bit, just so our listeners can know your expertise and the knowledge you're bringing to the table.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. So technically it's Windermere Property Management, Lori Gill and Associates, three offices serving King and Snohomish counties. We prioritize leasing and property management. That's really all that we do. We currently manage around 2,000 properties in our market, most of those being single family homes, and most of the rest of those being condo units.
That's terrific. And the reason why we wanted to have Corey on today is it's always great. I know we talk a lot about listing and selling homes and working with residential real estate agents, but the other piece to this in our business is the whole side of rentals. One being landlords, the other being property managers or being tenants, and just educating. Because if I'm working in real estate sales, I may come across people right now that not necessarily are going to buy or sell, but maybe they need to know more about getting into a rental. Or I have people that are in my database that potentially want to become landlords. They want to buy investment properties. And so, Corey, you've got a lot of insight that can really help us. And as I know from being a personal rental owner myself, meaning owning rentals as investment properties, there's a lot of legal stuff that goes on. There's a lot of things that I don't know about, which is where I rely on individuals like yourself to educate me. So maybe just for our listeners to start off with, tell me about any legal changes that you've seen happening on the state level, on the city level. Give us a little insight there.
Sure. Some refreshing news this year, at least at the state level, is that no significant housing bills were passed this year. And usually we're in a position playing defense in that conversation, trying to prevent things that we don't want happening from happening, which we think ultimately hurts the availability of affordable housing, is what it really comes down to. With that being said, because nothing passed at the state level, we do definitely expect to see smaller jurisdictions around the state, mostly at the city level, starting to take up some of these issues that failed to pass at the state level and pass them locally, which we've seen happen over the last handful of years. And so that's a effort and a conversation that we remain very much involved in.
What, anything specific at the city level that you know that might be happening?
There's the big three issues that often get looked at, and they are longer term notice, like more advanced notice of a rent increase, caps on what you can charge for late fees, and then caps on what you can ask for a security deposit. Those are the general ones. And on a surface level, those are not things that we have a huge issue with on our side of the industry. It's just trying to balance it out and make the policy workable for everyone. The other big thing that was up for discussion at the state level, of course, if you've been watching the news, was rent control. And that's a different category. That's something that, I'll just keep my mouth shut on that, but let's just say it didn't pass.
Yeah. And I know just from talking to people that are in other parts of the country, because we have different people listening on these podcasts, is keep in mind that, and you can speak to this, that you're specifically in when we're talking about King and Snohomish, but it goes city by city, state by state in terms of what they do and how they do it. And so that's something too, that if you're listening and you're not here in the markets that we're talking about, What's the best advice you give those people to go seek out information to find out what specifically might be the legalities around what if they're going to become landlords, if you will?
Sure. If we're talking like across the country, there is an organization called NARPM. That's the National Association of Residential Property Managers. And they have local chapters all over the country. That would probably be your go-to resource. If you're not here in our market, here locally, the Rental Housing Association of Washington is probably the best single destination for that kind of info.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Terrific. So some city changes may happen. You gave us the top three. Tell me a little bit about this intent to sell condos. I know this
came up. Yeah, thank you. So there are a couple. So I mentioned we often play defense when it comes to discussing rental housing policy, but there are a couple of issues that as an industry, we're really trying to play offense on and get some bills pushed through that we think will be very helpful for, again, housing affordability, the availability of affordable housing, relatively speaking, one of those being intent to sell a condo, like you mentioned. So currently, if I own a single family house that is a rental home, I can at some point with enough notice tell my tenant, I am planning to sell this home and therefore the tenancy is going to end, whether that's a minimum 90-day notice or much further out to whenever their fixed term lease ends. But whatever that timeline looks like, I'm going to be selling this home. It's no longer going to be a rental. That counts as what's known as a just cause to end the tenancy. That option does not exist for anything other than a single family home. So if you own a condo unit, you don't have that option as the owner to end the tenancy. The spirit behind this law does make sense because it is intended towards multifamily communities. The idea being that if the ownership of a 100-unit apartment building changes hands, the owner can't say, hey, 100 families who live here, you're all being displaced because I'm selling this property.
Right.
That is what it's intended to prevent. But as it stands right now, condos and townhouses, duplexes, all get lumped into this multifamily definition. And so we're trying to unwind that a little bit and make it more about how many, if it's on its own individual tax ID parcel number, which condo units are, then you'd have the ability to end the tenancy because you want to sell it. And it doesn't affect the other 99 condos in the condo building, very different from an apartment community where they're all within the same tax parcel. Where we feel that's really important from a housing affordability standpoint is that now you are able to take these homes and make them available to first-time buyers. Because right. If you're trying to climb the home ownership ladder and use real estate as a wealth building tool, the generational wealth building idea, for a lot of people, that first step into the market is a condo. And if these condo units are artificially being withheld from the sales market because they are fixed, locked in as rental units, that poses problems for the whole spectrum of where the growing family wants to move up into a larger house, but the empty nesters who live in the larger house don't have a place to downsize to because there's no condos for sale. Like it's the whole cycle.
It's bottlenecking the cycle, if you will, at the base level, right? The food chain, if you will, the real estate food chain, it's getting blocked.
Exactly. And not to mention that I would offer it is discriminatory against owners of condo and duplex and townhome properties that they don't have the same rights to sell their property as a single family house does. And again, the whole idea being that we're talking about one tenancy, not the entire building's worth. And so I think it's something we need to fix. And then the other one that we're working on is the opt-in for electronic notices. Most meaningful communication from landlord to tenant at this point requires the formal process service of a notice. Like someone has to drive to the property and hand a physical piece of paper, something that
honestly, it has to be served, right?
It has to be served. A lot of these things could just be emailed. And quite frankly, the recipient would prefer that it just gets emailed. Right. But we have the duty to serve those things now. And so we're working on another bill that would allow tenants to opt into electronic communication and not have us knocking on their door and taping a piece of paper to their door for all their neighbors to see.
And and on both of these, what are the timelines right now? You said they're trying another bill for this. Is this something that's going to happen in the next phase, or what are you seeing?
Yeah, the earliest we'd be looking at is first quarter of 2025 at the Washington State legislature level next session.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. So things to look out for. So electronic notices and also intent to sell condos, mm-hmm. where you can do that individually. That's awesome. Talk to me a little bit about activity in terms of where are we right now with inventory? What are you looking at, like migration of people moving into Seattle? I know that's a big deal.
Yep. So lots of news last year, I think it was, about tech companies laying people off in the region, but they're still hiring people. Like we didn't see a lot of people breaking their leases, for example, because they had been laid off. What we still definitely do see are people moving here to the Seattle area from different states and different countries for lots of different types of jobs, but still tech jobs are very high on that list. And yeah, something you mentioned a little earlier, these are future buyers, a lot of them as well.
Right.
And we want to do what we can to help these people find suitable housing. Maybe they just want to rent for a year while they get familiar with the area, and then have an opportunity to introduce them to a sales broker because they are a certain percentage of them will become buyers. So we want to put the region and the individual properties out there in the best light possible, give a great first impression of our brand, certainly increasing our chances of leasing that home quickly. We really do have to counsel our clients that it used to be good enough that things were clean and functional. The price of housing has gone up a lot in the last, I don't know, 10 years, however you want to look at it. People are expecting a lot in the home that they're going to purchase or lease, because they're paying a lot for it. And I think that expectation is definitely warranted. People who are choosing to rent, maybe in the higher end of the pricing spectrum, might be doing that because they don't want to have the responsibility of maintenance on the home. And right. So they are absolutely expecting that we are dialed in, everything is 100% ready to roll by the time we hit the market with it. And so that's a big conversation that we have with our clients, is making sure that we've got everything, cleaning, painting, flooring, tuning up of appliances, things of that nature. So we're ready to hit the market and we're dialed, like I said.
Dialed and ready to go. What's interesting is I just went through this, and I know this is a little bit off topic, but so my son, who's up in Bellingham and is a college student, and I am amazed sometimes in that world because of the level of the amount of people that are looking to rent. Sometimes we see, and I see some of these homes that he moves into that I'm helping pay for, they could take a page out of that book of what you're telling me. And I think it's just because there's such a demand that I think sometimes in those scenarios, the landlords or the property management companies are doing less because they know they're just going to rent. And I'm just speaking from my own personal experience in a college town, but I know that's different. But to your point, if you're going to be a landlord, putting your home in the best light is critical for those tenants, obviously, because they want to move into something like, just like buyers. They want to have move-in ready. They want all that dialed in, which brings me to the other piece too, as we were talking about this, as you were saying about how to have a home in its best light. In terms of if you're going to go sell it, talk to me a little bit about that.
In Seattle, there is something known as the RRIO program, the Rental Registration and Inspection Ordinance. One of the ideas would be to bring that inspector into the home before we list it, so we get an idea of the things that would need to be done in order to pass that inspection. That's not just a marketing tool, but that's a functionality thing as well. And we can get ahead of the game that way, by addressing any issues before a tenant is placed, because it becomes more difficult to get those things done once someone is living in the house. It's much easier to do maintenance on a vacant home than an occupied home, because we're working around people's schedules. The comment about your son is funny. The way we position that idea is, and nothing against your son, by the way, I haven't met him. I'm sure he's a great guy. But if you do just slap something up there and put it on the market, knowing that demand is high and you're going to get someone quickly, that I think you run the risk of, if people come in and see this home and it's not in great shape, they don't have a whole lot of incentive to keep it in great shape.
Absolutely.
While they're living there. And so you want to set the bar high and set the expectation high, and you're likely to attract a tenant who is going to be invested in taking great care of your home while they live there.
And what's interesting, you bring that up, because the home that he rented last year that I walked into when he moved in was in much better shape than the one that he rented this year. And I would second that. I think that it gives them an understanding of keeping it in a nicer condition versus if they're moving into one that's not so great condition, maybe they have less of incentive to do the things that they need to do. But yeah, I totally get that. The other thing I was going to ask you is just, where are we? Just we think about this. I know in the real estate world right now, in the Seattle market, we still have low inventory, right? Inventory is low. What are you seeing in terms of just vacancies and number of rental options for the consumer today? What's that looking like in King and Snohomish?
Yep. We actually just, what's today, April 12th, we just ran some first quarter numbers in the past week, and leasing activity, number of homes leased in King and Snohomish on the Northwest MLS is down roughly 10.5%. Okay. Not as many properties have been getting leased. So that tells me that inventory is down a little bit. This year, first quarter compared to last year, first quarter, the speed of the market is up, and I don't have the number in front of me. I want to say it's right around that same 10 to 11% factor. So there are fewer homes. They are leasing a little more quickly. That is a natural correlation. And pricing is up about 5.5% the first quarter this year compared to first quarter last year. So I don't think we have as much inventory. What I have been noticing is a lot of lease renewals within our brokerage. And it seems like those are coming through a little earlier in the year than usual. People are making that decision early. May have something to do with interest rates, may have something to do with maybe this year's not the time for me to get into the marketplace as a buyer, may have something to do with inventory on the for sale side as well. But that's a trend. It's a limited sample size, granted, but that's what we're seeing. And like I said, people are still moving here from all over the place to be in Seattle. And it's interesting, like, housing is very expensive here.
Yes.
Not as expensive as the Bay Area. And we get people coming here for an improvement on their cost of living if they're moving from the Bay Area, which is funny to think about.
Absolutely. And one of the things too is, what have you seen with rental rates? Have they been increasing? I know, let's think about from 2023 to 2024. What have you seen in terms of those?
I wouldn't. If so, just by a little bit, maybe a percentage point or two. I think what we can attribute the 5 to 6% higher pricing this past quarter compared to last year, first quarter, is probably that we've got larger, nicer homes hitting the rental market. Naturally, they're going to be priced higher, and a smaller share of those properties being condos. So the annual average is something like 34-35% of the rentals being condos. We're down to 28%. So it's not a huge difference, but what that means is that a higher percentage of them are single family houses, which tend to rent for more. And so I think that's why you're seeing that 5 to 6% overall number. But if we took the same exact house last year and rented it again this year, I don't think the pricing is up more than a percentage point or two.
Okay. So it's what you're saying. Yeah. You've seen it stay pretty flat.
Yeah. We saw some very significant spikes a couple of springs ago, like we did in the sales market too. Like it was crazy. And since then it has leveled off. I think we were looking at something like 15% annual appreciation, which was a lot. But then since then it's stayed moderate.
Yeah, absolutely. I also know, as we see slowing appreciation of homes, being if you're a landlord and you own a home and all of a sudden the slowing appreciation, you're not seeing the appreciation and you're seeing low inventory difficulties, a lot of times you want to retain your renters. And so if you've got good renters, you're like, okay, we're going to hang again at this rate for another year and wait till maybe we get a new tenant and then do an increase at that time? Is that typically what
you- Oh yeah. I think there's a lot to be said for the quote unquote good tenant discount. If you've got a great relationship with someone, that is inherently worth a lot.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting. And I think that you are making a wise decision by working with them in order to keep that partnership going. If you price them out, you don't know what you're going to get in the next person.
Yeah. No,
so you got to be careful about that.
Yeah. I've experienced that myself personally. So I would second that. One of the things I want to just touch on real quickly is we think about in our world of real estate with real estate trusted advisors. I always let our agents that we coach know that on their team, they should always have a specialist in that rental world, because I want to make sure that if I've got a client who decides a lot of times, like what we're seeing today, they say, hey, we're going to sell, or we're not going to sell, we're going to move, but we want to rent our house. And having somebody on your team that can say, let's assess if that's going to be beneficial to you. Talk to me a little bit about those types of services that you provide for real estate agents and how they can take advantage of that.
Yeah, that exact relationship represents more than half of the clients in our portfolio. Most of our clients were referred to us by a sales broker. And so that relationship is absolute gold to us. And I do think it is a very much team aspect like you described. I like to talk about it, and I might have had this conversation with you before. If you're a home buyer and you're working with your broker and they're representing you as a buyer, you get under contract and you need to have the home inspected, you're probably going to be hiring the inspector that your buyer's broker has recommended to you.
Right.
It's part of their team, right? And we want to be positioned the same way as part of that real estate broker's team when it comes to that specialized need of leasing and property management. And usually that is a very warm handoff, and there's a lot of trust because, as we know, real estate brokers do not want to give up the relationship with their clients, right? That it's
absolutely
huge. That's what it's all about, right? Relationships. And that's huge for us. We understand that it is, to a certain point, it's still their reputation on the line when they start working with us. And then the biggest thing is that because we do not perform any kind of buyer or seller services out of our brokerage, that client's going right back to the agent that referred them to us when they're going to be a buyer or seller again. And who knows, maybe the tenant that we place in that home ends up becoming a buyer, and, you know, some added benefit there to having another potential client out of the whole.
And I also talk about that when we coach agents, because we talk about, hey, what are your feeder sources for your business? Obviously, there's Sphere, there's your divorce lawyers, your CPAs, your financial planners, your insurance agents. But then my other question is, you know, where are the leasing agents? Those are a huge referral source because they're dealing with a pool of renters that at some point in time have a dream, most likely, to eventually own a home. And you have your finger on the pulse with that. And so what's that relationship like? And I would encourage our listeners today that are in the real estate business as real estate professionals, is that part of your feeder? Is, do you have somebody who is well-versed in the leasing side of things and the property management side of things to be another leg to your team or another leg to your stool, if you will, for resources and for information as it's needed? Would you agree with that?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if our listeners right now, a couple things. So if somebody is out there right now in the general public and they're thinking, wow, we got to figure out how we need to rent, what's the best way for people to reach out to you if they're in the King or Snohomish region to just find out how to maybe start utilizing those services?
Yeah, everything we've got will be on our website, wpmnorthwest.com. Not that I'm trying to give it a plug or anything, but you can also find our properties very easily on Zillow. Yep. And that's where a lot of our leasing traffic comes from. We also offer a service of showing homes listed by other brokerages, very similar to how a buyer works with a buyer's agent. And there's more information about that on our website as well.
And then how many basically agents are you have working in your organization now where have that ability to go build relationships with other real estate agents?
Yeah, we have about 35 property managers and 5 leasing agents.
Okay, terrific. And then what's the best way for them to get a hold, just to build a relationship there? What's the best way to get a hold of agents is, again, go to your office websites?
Yeah, correct. Just through our website.
And I also know that you your company also makes an effort to be involved with the residential side of the offices by engaging and providing information to them as well. I think about if I'm going to be doing property reviews for my clients, and my clients also possibly have some rental properties that are in that area, there's great information that they can get from your organization to provide inside their reports to just educate their client who potentially might be a landlord, right? You guys have stuff like that that's available to the agents?
Yeah, we'll do a CMA. Yep. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's great. Anything else, Corey, that comes to mind that you'd like people to know just about what's going on?
Yeah. One thing we didn't really get to, I'll try to keep this brief, but there's been a lot in the news recently about like evictions and squatters.
Oh, yes. I'd love to hear about this.
Yeah. You might have heard the story about Van Guy, Jason Roth. This is someone in Seattle who his tenant didn't pay rent for a year, and he ended up having to live out of his own van while the process took place. There's another big story currently ongoing in Bellevue where they're holding a weekly protest outside this house where a guy hasn't paid rent for 2 years, and the homeowner's finally gotten fed up with it, brought the community together, just shining a light on the fact that in King County, you're looking at 6 to 12 months minimum for an eviction case to even be given a hearing.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of effort underway. It's getting national attention. There's a lot of effort underway to make that process more expedient and more fair to the parties involved. Because ultimately what happens is the landlord is out thousands and thousands of dollars, and sometime in the future, the tenant who has gone so long without paying, they're going to owe that, right? They're going to end up with a judgment for tens of thousands of dollars. And that doesn't really help them either. And if it's a situation where they just truly can't afford the home that they're living in, and we've had some of those, we've had some very high-end properties where something happened on the tenant's end and they can't afford it anymore. I personally feel the effort should be not towards just extending their tenancy in this home they can't afford until the end of time, but really helping them get into a more sustainable situation for themselves.
Absolutely.
And maybe you don't need this 5,000 square foot house on Mercer Island that one person is living in. Maybe you should go get a one bedroom apartment to fit your current, and then get back on your feet, whatever. So, yeah.
So they're looking right now to change that eviction time. Is that what they're looking at?
Yeah, there's been quite a bit in the news. There's some pressure mounting. Yes.
Okay. And what's the time frame on that?
Your guess is as good as mine. Yeah.
It's like when we'll see the judgment from NAR. Yeah, exactly. Okay. And what I love is we always try to have you on a regular basis so you can keep us up to date on this stuff. I think it's important. I think it's a big piece of what we do in real estate. And so personally, I want to thank you for coming on today and taking the time to go over this. And if somebody wanted to reach out to you directly, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, they'd call my office, 425-455-5515.
Perfect.
That's our main number they can ask for me.
Awesome. Hey, Corey, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. And like I said, if any, we'll have you on again because I know this stuff is always changing.
Yep.
And it's just good to educate both the public, general public, and to educate our agents on the services and the value that your company brings to this business. So thank you. And for all of our listeners, thank you for listening. If you found this to be insightful or helpful, please feel free to share it. Give us a rating. That always helps us. And if you have ideas of things you'd like us to talk about, reach out to me directly at fanning@winnumer.com. And we always end these like we always do by saying be awesome and help somebody and make it a great day. Corey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We just wanted to thank you for listening to Ask a Coach, the Windermere podcast. If you found our content helpful, please feel free to share it. And we always end our podcast by saying, be awesome and help somebody and make it a great day.